In other news, this is the news, according to me. Yeah. It's Friday, June 11th, 7:29:27, 2021. And here we are. Oh, goodness. So, we have this, this country that we're a part of, this nation. And last night I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for clicking on this podcast and taking the time to listen to my opinions. You can also, I'm not sure if I can remember the number or not, 574-742-6748. You can call or text that number and leave a comment, and I might read it or play it on the air. On the air. That's on the recording. On the air. It's on the broadcast. On the podcast. There we go. That's it. It's a podcast. The, yeah, so, so yesterday, thing I didn't talk about yesterday. In fact, I didn't have a show last night. I planned on having a show last night, but I had quite a few things to deal with. I had some automotive issues. I should say automobile issues I had to fix. And that's, you know, I do on my own. Well, I do 98% of my own maintenance on my cars because that's the cheapest way to do it. When you own the kind of cars I do, they need a lot of maintenance. So therefore, I have a tendency to be busy doing those kinds of things. And I got to get some yard to mow today, just so you know. I thought it was important for you to know that. It is, it's a big news story. I have, yesterday was an interesting, all day, I guess. Yesterday was iced tea, National Iced Tea Day. And I had to celebrate that as well. So because that's a big event here at the household. We pull out of, you know, we have a big tree we put up with all kinds of lights and decorations. And, or am I confusing that with something else? I can't remember. The, so today, in retrospect, I had to make a gallon of iced tea yesterday. Of course, it's sweet tea, of course. That took, you know, half a day. To do it right, it takes a long time. You really have to do it right, or it's not worth doing at all. So in retrospect today, I have a, well, you know, what's in my cup? That's the question of the day. That's what everybody wakes up to find out. And people have no purpose in life unless they know what's in my cup. And this is chai tea, Pacific something, chai tea something, I don't know. It's the creamy original. I don't know what it's called. All I know is I have some, and I'm drinking it. It's hot. Chai is typically hot. You can get it iced as well. But in this case, it's hot tea. Because it's morning, and I use it to wash down my apple fritter. It works. It's not quite like chocolate milk, washing down an apple fritter. Ugh, boy, that kind of went down kind of funny there. I had a funny little noise going down my throat. Because I'm a funny little guy. And there's a lot of interesting things happening in the news. And I think it's probably I guess there's some things happening with the Arizona recount. My guess is, now I don't know, The last I heard, they were 76% done. That was yesterday morning, or maybe 2 days ago. So they're planning to have this whole thing wrapped up by the end of the week, or at the very latest, I think by the first of next week. My guess is, I guess it is the end of the week. It's Friday, so that's the end. So Saturday would be the end of the week. my suspicion is that they've probably in the latter, you know, oh, I don't know, 100,000 ballots or so. They've probably, I guess there's a lot of discrepancies that they're running across, and the issue is they're finding ballots that look like they've been photocopied. And they're greatly concerned about that. Yeah. Duh. See, part of the problem with this audit is that they don't have access to a lot of things that they really need access to. This whole thing is very, it's a shell game. And you will really never be able to prove anything because of the way that everything's done. Even though you have these records. Now, here's how it goes down. You get all these ballots in there, and they go to adjudication. Now, this is one of the things that they will probably not mention in this audit. You get this adjudication process going on. And what that means is you have a ballot that comes through that is a person is counting, and they look at it and they go, oh, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not sure what this ballot, it's scribbled on. It's something's wrong with it. It's torn, whatever's wrong with it. They may have voted for two people for the same office. So they have to send it to adjudication. Now, when they send it to adjudication, the adjudicator is in a room. My understanding is in Arizona, in many places, the adjudicator is not monitored. Even what they do on the computer is not recorded. And this ballot comes up for adjudication, and the person doing the adjudicating can literally pick whatever they want, what that ballot is supposed to look like. So they will just put the vote in for them. Now, there's a lady on YouTube. So there's several occasions of this where they make this. They show this demonstration of what an adjudicator does. And the adjudicator basically can say, okay, I think this person wanted to vote for this person or that person. And so I'm going to put that down. When they clear it and say, okay, that's good, that one's done, the ballot has been corrected, it gets printed out again and goes into the pile. The old ballot is destroyed, or it's gotten rid of. It's not supposed to be destroyed, by the way, but in many cases it is. When the one, I think it was down in Georgia, when the one ballot counting facility was caught with a shredder truck or whatever, pulled up to the facility to carry away bins full of ballots to be destroyed. Those ballots were adjudicated and reprinted. I don't have proof or evidence of any of this. First of all, let me say that. This is all speculation on my part. But it's the plausible explanation of what happens here because of the way the system is built. And they know this, and this is why they operate the way they do. So now you go back through, and when you do a ballot recount, you do an audit. You're counting the adjudicated ballots. You're not counting the original ballots. In most cases, in most states, who have these problems, this is what happens. So there's nothing to see here other than those ballots should say, there should be a stamp on them saying it has been adjudicated, it has been corrected. My understanding is that in most of these states, in Pennsylvania and Georgia, and I believe in Wisconsin, the numbers of adjudicated ballots, which were typically in the 1% range, less than 1% actually in most states that are corrected, less than 1%. In many of these states, the numbers of adjudicated ballots turned out to be over 5% and in some cases closer to 10%. And in one case, I think, I'm pretty sure there was one state, I'm not going to say what it was, I believe there was one state that was over 10% of adjudicated ballots, which is highly irregular. And of course, COVID. They blame it all on COVID. Because there were so many mail-in ballots, so many more mail-in ballots, they were overwhelmed with mail-in ballots, and so we were unable to adjudicate, we had to adjudicate a lot more ballots because of the adjudications process. Okay, I'll accept maybe a 1 or 2% increase. But when we're talking enough of an increase in adjudicated ballots to change the election, to change the results or the outcome of the election, we have a problem. I just recently heard, once again, this one lady, I guess it was a commentator, it was a man. He was being interviewed by a lady, and he was saying, he again read off the statistics, and these are actual factual statistics based on poll data, exit poll data. Donald Trump increased his percentage of vote among African American, among women, among Latino, among people of color, Asian Americans, in every demographic except for white men. White men overwhelmingly made the difference up in the percentage of vote who voted for Joe Biden. Now, you see, there's a lot of problems with this, according to what the leftists are telling us, because it's the white men who are the enemy, apparently. They are the racist white supremacists. And you would think that they would vote for their man, who is supposedly the white supremacist, racist. But that's not the way it worked out. So how is it? How is it that it's the only demographic that he lost? And that was the overwhelming result of the election, supposedly. You see, I still have my doubts. There is something very suspicious, much like the Wuhan lab being located in the same place that the coronavirus outbreak happened. Well, it was a bat. It was a bat. It came over from a bat. Yeah. In other news, Democrats are peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining. I don't think it's raining. I think they're peeing on my leg. So, the... The issue before us, and I hate to continue to pick on certain individuals, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love doing things I hate to do. Apparently Kamala Harris is Kamala, whatever her name is. I don't know how she likes to have it pronounced or whatever it is. VP Harris, the supposed vice president. Again, the left now is even starting to wonder about this woman's competency. And I have to ask when I hear her being interviewed sometimes and I hear her in a speech, many times I am left shaking my head and saying, you've got to be kidding me. What kind of a strange, weird joke is this? This individual, is absolutely incompetent. I don't know any other way to put it. And I'm not sure exactly what the solution is here. We are confronted with an issue of a bumbling, declining elderly gentleman who is sitting in the White House, who sits down with Boris Johnson, is that his name? I don't know, whatever his name is, at the G7. And before he sits down, he has to have a person hand him a book that's like a half inch thick with notes in it, so that he has his talking points in front of him and he can make his comments based on those little tabs. He just pulls out the tab and he's able to talk about it. And he tried to wade into the Northern Ireland issue or something. He tried to weigh in on some of the issues that are going on in Europe, and they were pretty much they confused by what he was saying. But of course, he comes back and the leftist press just fawns all over him and talks about how wonderfully he was received. If you watch the first introduction of him and Boris as they were sitting down at the G7, and they just went back and forth for the first 5 minutes, it's just nothing but this glowing report of, oh, I'm so glad you're here. This is my first trip here as president. I've been here before, but this is my first trip as president. And then he has this creepy smile. First of all, he sits down and takes off his mask. He's been vaccinated, by the way. So is Boris. Takes off his mask. And then he smiles. He has this big, huge, creepy smile. It's phony. It's not, you know, he's not smiling because he's happy about anything. Maybe they had him on some happy drugs. I don't know what's going on. And he's just smiling. And then he starts talking about Boris's wife. Now, he just got married. So it's one thing to say, you know, and congratulations on your wedding or congratulations on your new marriage or whatever. But he talks about his wife, who's 33 years old. And he goes directly to the wife. He doesn't say anything about congratulations to your, you know, for being, you know, that you're married and whatever. And he goes into this thing about Jill and whatever. It just distasteful, in my opinion, what he was saying. But it was, and I guess he, he's just, there's no end to the creepiness of this guy. So then, um, So they go through this conversation for about the first 5 minutes. It's just nothing but back and forth. You know, no, you're great. No, you're wonderful. No, it's great to be here. No, it's greater to have you here. No, it's wonderful. Just really weird. And I guess he's been making some statements and doing some things over there. This, you know, they realize this is his first trip over there since president. I guess his first trip out of the country, actually, since president. Which is fine. It's not a problem with that. But just, yeah. And I'm not real big on the G7 either. I just, Trump was not well received at the last conference, world conference, whatever it was, because he, you know, he's not kowtowing to these guys. It was an America First policy. And now Joe has America's back narrative that he's trying to fulfill. Whatever that means. So as we, well, I just look at it this way. The world is not impressed with this guy. Now, Vladimir Putin is getting approval now from the United States. We're signing off on this idea, endorsing the idea of him running a pipeline into Germany to sell them. I don't know if it's natural gas or oil, some kind of energy. At the same time, they've now officially yesterday, I think they officially shut down the Keystone pipeline. Of course, there's about 22 states, I think, serving lawsuits against the president for that action. We'll see what happens with that. I noticed that Lindsey Graham made another big statement, big, bold, brave statement again when he was talking about Fauci. I didn't even listen to the interview because I just can't stand to listen to the guy talk anymore. You know, he tries to talk this tough game now all of a sudden, and he's got no teeth. This guy's barking, and there are no teeth there. And he's on a really short chain. So, you know, just when I was a kid, I had to walk back and forth to school. I really actually did walk back and forth to school, and I could have taken the bus, but it was this ridiculous hour-long bus ride because I was with the first and the last one. I was the first one to be picked up, and I was the last one to be dropped off in the end of the day. And I was literally closer. I could walk to school faster than the bus could get me there. It was an hour-long bus ride. I had to get up at 7 o'clock. I had to be on the bus at 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., to get to school by 8. And school, I didn't have to be at school until 8:30. I could literally leave the house at 8 o'clock if I didn't have my snare drum to cart back and forth. I could literally, I was 8 years old. I could walk to school and get there sometimes before the bus would get there if the bus was running late. I could get there in, I don't know, was it 15 minutes? 20 minutes? It was dependable. I always get back and forth. If it was raining, it was kind of a pain, but it was, I don't remember it raining that much for some reason. And it snowed and it rained. I don't know. I probably had an umbrella. I don't even remember having an umbrella. I had a raincoat, I think. But I don't even remember that. I think I just ran from one tree to the next and came home wet, I think is what ended up happening. But I'm sure it had to have been raining at some point and snowing and cold. I just don't remember that. I just remember getting to the candy store on the way back and forth and buying candy to take the kids the next day because I would resell candy to the country kids who couldn't come into town. They came in on the bus. I would mark it up and sell them candy. Don't tell the IRS because they'll come after me for that. I remember doing that kind of thing. And there was a couple, along the way, there was a couple of dogs And once in a while, there would be a dog that was loose. Or it would get loose, and it would see me. Now, I was able to avoid the dogs. I kind of, even at that age, now, when I was like 4 or 5 years old, we had a dog. And so I kind of remembered, I kind of grew up around the dog thing. And even at that age, I think we had a dog, his name was Jake. He was kind of a part German Shepherd dog kind of thing. Small, he's part like part Beagle and part German Shepherd. I'm not sure. I think he wasn't a really large dog, but he was really good dog, really, really good dog. And I think he might have been hit by a car because all of a sudden he wasn't home. And I'm pretty sure that was the dog. Is that the dog? Yeah, that was the dog. He was, all of a sudden he wasn't there anymore. And my mom said that we had to give him away to send him off to a farm where he was playing with rabbits. I didn't know any better. So I figured that's what happened to him. I'm pretty sure something happened to him, something bad. I just wasn't told because he was my best buddy. I mean, we would go out and play in the yard. So I was raised with dogs. I've been around dogs a lot. And so when the dogs would come running around, I would not run from them. I would kind of stand my ground with them. I would stand there when they would. Now, the ones that I knew were on a chain and they would bark at me like crazy, I completely ignored. The first day you see him and you're like, oh, scary. Hope he stays over there on that chain. Hope he stays behind that fence. And then after a while you realize that dog's just barking a lot. He's on a chain or he's behind a fence. He's just all barking, no bite. I didn't want to find out. So I get back to Lindsey Graham. Lindsey. Arf, 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 arf. That's pretty much it. That's all you're going to get from him. When was the last time he actually brought down an indictment on anybody? When was the last time he actually brought down any kind of punishment for anything that anybody's done wrong? Other than to squirm around in his seat and complain and throw little tizzy fits for the cameras. Because that's all I see. Makes it look like he's really passionate about this. Really cares about what is, you know, this issue. So so now all of a sudden he says Dr. Fauci. He says he makes this statement, I guess, on the news. I think it might have been on Hannity or something, I don't know. He said, I smell a rat. Well, okay, Mr. Graham, Senator Graham, however you want to be addressed. This rat has been running around the White House now for over a year. Actually been running around longer than that, but he's been pretty much predominantly running around the White House for over a year. And you're just now smelling him? When I first saw him and him and Dr. Burke, or Burks or whatever her name was, she was the token female in the room. I don't know if any of you realize that or not. And this is when I started having this underlying gut suspicion about what was going on. Because Fauci was obviously the one running the show and the one who was in charge. And Burks was kind of on the side. Nobody even talks about her anymore. Where did she go? What happened to her? She even been interviewed by anybody anymore? Now, she was heavily involved in the Wuhan lab as well. From my understanding, I think she was a part of this whole thing. Now, and personally, I think that they had her up there just because they wanted to have a woman up there. And when I saw that, I had to ask, who is behind these people? Because this is a stunt, and I mean it's a stunt, that the left pulls. Just like the Biden-Harris administration, or just because they put VP Harris behind Joe every time he speaks, he comes out and speaks, and they have her standing looming back behind. It's some kind of a creepy, I'm right here when he goes, kind of perched over the scene kind of set up there. It's just weird. And then Joe with the way he walks, with his hands kind of stiff to his side and his knees kind of coming up overly pronounced to make sure that he doesn't shuffle. It's the guy has to be deliberate about everything he does in order to make it through a day. So for the camera. So Kamala now is coming up with these weird statements again. Just weird. She has this interview with Lester, I think it was Lester Holt. And she's talking about the border, and they're asking her, I can't remember who the interviewer was. It might not have been Lester. But he says, you haven't been to the border yet. Why haven't you been to the border? Because he was actually trying to give her an opportunity. Now, she had to know that question was coming because that's the way they do this kind of thing. They let you know. And she says, I haven't been to Europe either. I don't understand your question. We've been to the border. We're at the border. We're at the border. Oh, we are? We're at, right now, we're at the border? Is that the definition of is? You know what the question is. You're avoiding it because you're a phony. You're way over your skis on this. You're scared of being found out. Everything about the way she speaks and moves and acts tells me that she has no idea what she's doing. She has this smile and nod thing going on all the time because she's trying to convince everyone around her. She's actually trying to convince herself that what she's saying is true, and she knows it's not, and that's why she's very uncomfortable about all this stuff. She has no core principle. Now, Donald Trump was not an ideologue. He didn't have a conservative idealistic drive pushing a worldview. He was a businessman. Wanted to get things done, wanted to make deals, he wanted to make things happen, get things on the right track. That's what he was about. That's what drives him. He has some core principles to some extent, but there wasn't anything that was it wasn't like you would see like a political philosophy, so to speak. But he had a mission. He had a I don't know. He had a principle that he worked with, and that was just a business principle. Kamala Harris has none of that. She doesn't even have that. And her political views are basically whatever they tell her her political views are, or whatever they need to be in order to stay out ahead of the press. Which she avoids like the plague. So let's look at some headlines. Because this might just tell us more than we want to know. One thing that's has popped up recently is the... how many of you remember Jeffrey Toobin? Jeffrey Toobin was caught during a Zoom conference, Zoom communication meeting, live. He was... or like maybe it wasn't live, it was just a meeting. I believe it might have even been a election scenario practice event. Now, this is another creepy thing that the legacy media does. They were having election scenario practices. Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? And we're going to say this, and we're going to say that. This is the narrative we're going to. That's actually what they're doing here. They're getting ready for production, live production practices, to say the right things and do the right things and coordinate things together. That's what this stuff is, because again, it is political theater. They're not reporting the news. They're creating a narrative, and they're mastering the art of manipulation of the American people. So this is what they're doing. And they're doing this little Zoom meeting to go through one of these little scenarios. And apparently Mr. Toobin didn't realize he was on camera. Or they didn't realize that part of his anatomy was on camera. And he was doing unspeakable things that I will not speak of, because it's just disgusting. And they fire him. Well, guess who's back? Jeffrey Toobin returns to CNN after Zoom call incident. Because, you know, people forget. We're going to give you 6 months off, and then you're going to come back. Had that been a Republican, you'd never see that person ever again. LA County Sheriff blasts city leadership for a surging homeless crisis. Nationwide shortage of truck drivers, partly to blame for rising food costs. I'm not sure what's going on there. They're blaming truck drivers now. Maybe so. I know a buddy of mine, he got a job right before COVID as a truck driver. They're working him like crazy. Plenty of work to do. Plenty of work to be done. He's getting paid well. I mean, the pay is decent. They're paying guys 50 cents to more per mile. And, you know, if you drive 50 miles an hour, that's $25 an hour. Just driving. You're not just driving, but there's a lot more to the job. I mean, it's not all, and you're not always driving 50 miles an hour. Sometimes you're driving 90. But the shortages, you know, blaming the food shortage on that, it's kind of ridiculous to me. I'm not sure I get that. But hospital suspends workers who refuse experimental vaccine. Keep in mind, folks, this vaccine is still experimental. And even the military cannot force you to take an experimental drug. the idea that there are people being suspended because they won't take an experimental vaccine is a little bit beyond the pale. Witness is incurable and a parasite condition, according to new paper. Now this is, I wanted to listen to this because this was apparently something that was put out, I believe that Tucker Carlson actually had doctor compares white people to parasites. This is I wonder how long this is. I could play this. This is Tucker Carlson, a little video clip. I don't know if this will play or not on here. Let's see if it actually comes over onto the, because I have this on my computer. And I'm not sure I have my computer wired into this thing, but we're going to give it a try. See, I'm just going to push play here and see what it does. It's buffering. Oh, this guy, what is this guy's name?
It's kind of weird that at the very moment that most of the country lives in terror that anything you say can be twisted into the R word and you get fired and canceled and never heard from again, we're all exquisitely sensitive, trying to step over boundaries that change every day. Some small group of people seem to be able to attack anyone they want on the basis of their race, and they're celebrated for it. That's accelerating. It's getting more intense. Trace Gallagher has the latest example for us tonight. Hey, Trace.
Hey, Tucker, for context, you should know that Dr. Donald Moss is an author and faculty member at both the New York Psychoanalytical Institute and the San Francisco Center for Psychoanalysis, where he tells his students that whiteness is contagious, can be passed on by other infected people, and that you are more prone to contract whiteness if you are white. So now Dr. Moss has published a report that calls whiteness a, quote, malignant parasitic-like condition that enables the host to have, quote, power without limit, force without restriction, violence without mercy, and a drive to, quote, hate and terrorize and, quote, target non-white peoples. But there's good news, bad news. Good news, parasitic whiteness is treatable, he says, with, quote, psychic and social historic interventions, including methods of redistribution and reparations. The bad news is whiteness has no cure. As you might imagine, some are calling this psycho-nonsense. Quoting here, how do my colleagues consider this scholarship? Anyone actually take this seriously? And this, quoting, I was skeptical, so I looked it up, and yeah, this is real. And now I want to throw my psychology degree in the garbage. Not only is it real, Dr. Moss's report was published in the Journal of the American Psychoanalytic Association, one of the most trusted publications in psychology. Most trusted. Essentially, Tucker, it's the CNN of psychoanalysis.
So, now I don't know what the audio issue was there. About every 15 seconds, I was noticing there was a major distortion in the audio, and I believe that was on the video. I think that was in the. I think it was actually part of the recording that they did. Not sure if it was their connection speaking back and forth to each other, what it was, because it's not in my system here, so I'm not sure exactly what to say about that. But so I apologize for that sound issue. However, I also want to apologize for this crazy doctor. Even though I'm not really in a position I can apologize for him, he needs to apologize. This is absolute insanity. This guy is he needs to have a nice little bit of 6 or 8 hour sit down with Jordan Peterson, maybe would be helpful for him. Not that Jordan could talk any sense into this guy because he's obviously completely off his rocker. But you want to talk about liberalism. Mark Dice has this thing where he says liberalism, find a cure. He's got this T-shirt because it's a mental disorder. This is the kind of person who actually epitomizes that and makes it, you know, brings it to life. This is the insanity of wokeism. This isn't psychology based on the study of man. This is psychology based on the study and influence of a political ideology and philosophy that then seeks to influence a particular group of people. And I would contend it's dangerous. This is academia for you today, folks. This is not everywhere, but in most of the major learning facilities in this country, institutions, not just in this country, but other countries as well. And this is where they've taken over. This is how they've gone from just being an institution of learning to a political ideology indoctrination reprogramming institution. And that's exactly what they're doing. There was recently a woman who, I wish I could find that one. That would be actually more interesting. I believe Hannity was actually the one who either had her on his show or he I don't see it here. I wish I could find that. Maybe I'll have the audio for that later today. If I have time to do a show later today, I will do that. Fridays tend to be a little bit more backed up even than Thursdays, and yesterday was pretty backed up. So the thing was that she, this lady was actually lived under Mao's China, and she was a child then. She's an older gal now. She got up in front of the school board meeting, county school board, and laid into this whole thing of the critical race theory thing that's going on. CRT is a very dangerous teaching. And you have to understand that the actual teaching that they're giving you is basically what this guy's saying. That if you are white, you are inherently and genetically racist. And of course, the only cure is reparations and all the other stuff he was talking about, which is just ridiculous. How does that matter? What is the price? Tell us what the price is. What is the cost to make this all go away? What do we have to pay? Do I have to pay a 25% tax on everything I make? Do I have to give 100% of every, do I just need to give everything I have now away, give it all away, and start over again? If we just do all that, just give everything away we have, start over again, and then all this is over. They can't cry racism anymore. They can't cry white privilege. They can't cry anything else after that. And, you know, it's not what's sad about this is it's not the African Americans that are crying these things. By and large, it's not the average. Now you get the people in certain areas who have been indoctrinated through school programs, telling them that they're oppressed and they're downtrodden and it's the white man's fault. That's what they've been told all their lives. I went to a little, it's like a little after school program thing where there's a bunch of children there, and it was still not exactly sure. I was a part of this group that I was traveling with them. I wasn't the leader of the group. I was like traveling with them because I was song leading. I was leading songs. Got kind of swooped up into it the week before they left because they didn't have somebody to do it. So they scooped me up because I wasn't doing anything. And so I crisscrossed the Midwest for about 2 weeks. And we stopped in this one place, South Chicago, not very far from Michael Jackson's childhood home, actually. There was this little facility there. It was like an after-school program that these older folks had going on. They were white. Course. because they were there to help. Because they were, you know, they were woke. Well, these kids would start showing up at their house. It's like an after-school type thing, or after-school program type thing. And they were trying to help teach them things like reading and coloring, arithmetic, different things. But it soon became obvious that the things that these kids were learning there at their little side home business thing they had going on, their little ministry, what to call it that, their outreach. This wasn't about teaching the kids how to read and write, or even teaching them how to think. They made some comments. So this is back when Obama was president at the time. And these little kids, 7, 8 years old, some of them were a little older, making comments about the former president prior to Obama, and how he was the worst president ever. Now, I have to kind of almost agree. I wouldn't say he's the worst president ever, but I wouldn't say he was the best president in the world. Better than some. But certainly not a conservative. And there was a time when I supported that president. And I really thought he was on the right track. And then there was a time when I realized that he was just another big government establishment president, person, individual. But the thing I noticed about these kids was that they were very much indoctrinated by the political philosophies of this particular outreach. And this is what these kids are growing up with. So they're being taught every day. And I don't know that they got it that much in school. Now, I know that there are some, especially in the Chicago area, I know that there is a lot of indoctrination with regard to, and purposefully so, a lot of the indoctrination has to do with, you know, oppression. The white man is evil. The founders were evil. They don't know really anything about Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, James Madison. They don't hear anything about the history and the founding of the nation. The very thing, the very people who gave, who recognized the rights of the individuals, who basically framed the form of government we have, which is a constitutional republic, the framers, sometimes they call them. Because it wasn't them that was giving us our rights. They were the ones recognizing our rights and turning those rights back over to the people. It's those very rights that we have that they are almost seeking to destroy, like as if that's the enemy. Well, because it was done by white men, it's a bad thing. So it's almost as if that's kind of the way it comes across to me. I don't know if, you know. I was just informed that my schedule, I was hoping to get some changes on my schedule for the next week, and that has been denied. Yeah, oh well. I tried. So therefore, that means I will need to get busy here I've been almost an hour anyway. But so that's what we have in the news right now. And it's a troubling thing. At the same time, it's very it's just something that should draw us to our knees. We are living in very perilous times, on the cusp of a tipping point. Maybe we've tipped over it. Maybe we've already tipped. But maybe we haven't. So we need to not panic. Continue to keep our eyes focused on the cause. So there you go. So once again, it's the close of a week. I'm not sure I'll get back on here this afternoon. So I will just say this. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you have some time to spend with your family, if you have family, if you have people you care about, or even if you just have time to spend on your own, to reflect, to ponder, to muse. I don't have my thesaurus in front of me, so I can't come up with any more words for that. I'm sure there's a whole plethora of words for that. But hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy your life. And find joy in the people around you. God bless, and have a great night. Have a great weekend. Take care, everybody.